Okay, so we're looking into lesson 7, and I did the first reading passage last week, that selection from the Kalama Sutra. Now we come to passage 2. This is on page 98. This is a little tricky, this one, so I have to go through it carefully. Nahaṃ brāhmaṇa sabbaṃ ditaṃ vasitabhaṃ ti vadāmi na panāhaṃ brāhmaṇa sabbaṃ ditaṃ na vasitabhaṃ ti vadāmi. Okay, here nahaṃ means what? Not I. Okay, and the I here has to be linked up with the verb, vadami. And then what comes in between, after the brahmana is just evocative, what comes between the word brahmana and the T, it's like a quotation. So, brahmana, I do not say sabbaṃ ditaṃ vasitabhaṃ. This means that everything seen should be spoken about, should be discussed. In other words, one shouldn't talk about everything that one sees. Just because one sees something interesting, it doesn't mean that you should talk about it. And then, nupan ahaṃ brāhmaṇa sabbaṃ ditaṃ na vasitabhaṃ ti vadāmi. Here the word panna is just, you call this a continuative. It shows that this sentence is continuing from the next one. And it's setting up a contrast. So we might render it, but Brahman, I do not say all that is seen should not be spoken about. In other words, I don't say that one should never discuss what one has seen. Then the same thing is said about what is heard. This is suttang. Nahaṃ brāhmaṇa, and so on. I do not say, O Brahman, that everything that is heard should be spoken about. And notice here, this is using the reason why they're including this passage is because it has the gerundive, or the optative future participle, vasitabhaṃ, which means should be spoken about, should be discussed. So continuing, I do not say, O Brahman, that everything heard should be spoken about. Nupanahaṃ brāhmaṇa sabbaṃ sutaṃ na vasitabhaṃ ti vadāmi. But, O Brahman, I do not say that everything that is heard should not be spoken about. Then the same thing is said regarding what is called mutaṃ, and then viññātaṃ. This is actually, it's a common set of four items that we meet in the sutras. It seems that the Buddha had taken this over. It might have been used in the Brahminic literature, in the Upanishads. So all sensory objects are classified into what is seen, heard. Seen is ditaṃ, heard is suttaṃ, then mutaṃ, I'll just leave for a moment. Okay, ditaṃ is seen, suttaṃ is heard, and viññātaṃ means what is known by viññāna, by consciousness. So we might render it what is cognized. I skipped mutaṃ deliberately, I'm going to come to it. Okay, this leaves mutaṃ. Now mutaṃ originally meant what is thought. It seems it's related to the noun mana, which means mind. It comes from the same verbal root, to think. But the commentaries like to see this fourfold scheme is comprising all of the usual six sense objects. So they take mutang to mean anything experienced through the other three senses, what is smelt, tasted, and touched. So we might render it what is sensed, what is sensed apart from seeing or hearing. This is the way the commentaries treat it. So that the fourfold, this fourfold set of items covers all the six sense objects. The first and second visible forms, sounds have categories of their own. Then smells, tastes, touches come under mutang. And then ideas, judgments, intellectual conclusions come under vinyata. Okay, now the Buddha says, I'm in the second paragraph. Yang hi brahmana ditang basato akusala dhamma abhivadanti kusala dhamma parihayanti eva rupang ditang na basi tabanti vadami. Here, yanghi. This yang, this is called a relative pronoun, and it has to be joined. Well, it doesn't absolutely have to be, but in this sentence, it's connected with another word that qualifies another word. What is that word that it's qualifying, the other word? No. It's a pronominal, let's say it's a pronoun adjective used in relation to a noun. What is the noun that it's relative to? Is my question clear? No. It has to be the same, a hint, big hint. The same case. I heard it in the back. Ditang, right. It's yang ditang. So it means what one has heard. Then the he, this is just emphatic. It's what we call a spice word. It just gives a little punch to the sentence. Okay, so literally, whatever thing that is seen, or let's put it this way, for one who speaks about what is seen, for one who speaks, basato. And what case is this? Basato. What form of speech and what case? Right. And the case? Right. And quantity? No. Yeah. Singular. Yeah. Okay, this is... You have to get familiar with this type of construction because it's very common in Pali. So, and there's almost implied here, I would call this a consequence statement. That is, there's an implicit if and then construction, even though words for if and then don't occur. So, the sense that, first I'll translate it literally, then a little more freely. For one who speaks about yang ditang, for something seen, unwholesome dhammas, unwholesome qualities, abhivadanti, increase, and kusala dhamma parihayanti, wholesome qualities decline. Then avarupang ditang. Here, this, the avarupang ditang, this correlates with yang ditang. This is the counterpart for yang ditang. So an avarupang means such kind of this type. Jayang or Jayang. Or Jajong, can you say that? Jajong, yeah. Yeah. Okay, this type of seen thing should not be spoken about, I say, I declare. That's vadami. So that's a very literal translation. But to put it more freely, in ordinary English, what I would translate it this way. When one speaks about something that is seen, here, when one speaks, that captures the sense of basito. When one speaks of something that is seen, that is yang ditang, then there's an implied if. So, if unwholesome states increase and wholesome states or qualities decrease, then, you see, there's an implied if then such kind of seen thing should not be discussed, should not be spoken about, I declare, I say. Then the counterpart to this, now comes, yang kvasa cha brahmana ditang abhasato kusala dhamma parihayanti akusala dhamma abhivadanti evarupang ditang basita banti vadami. Okay, this kvasa, the note explains that it comes from ko plus asa. So you have these two vowels, O and A, coming together. Ko plus asa. And so this is a particular way of treating that sandhi. It seems to be distinctive in the Burmese way of editing Pali. So when you see that the O turn into a V, you could be pretty sure that the passage is being based upon a text edited or transmitted through Burma. I think in the Sinhalese tradition, you would get ko and then the A would drop out, so it would become ko, comma, SSA. Then the ko has the sense of but, or on the other hand. Then I think the asa should go with abhasato. I think it's the relative pronoun. Like tassa, asa. Okay. So, yang kvasa cha brahmana ditang abhasato. Okay, but on the other hand, for one who does not speak, wait. I get the sense now. Okay. For one who does not speak about what is seen, wholesome dhammas are abandoned, or wholesome dhammas diminish. And unwholesome dhammas or unwholesome qualities increase. Eva rupang ditang basita banti vadami. Such thing that is seen should be spoken about, should be discussed, I declare. Okay, the sense here is now, when one speaks about something that is seen, if one does not speak or discuss about something that is seen, when one does not discuss what is seen, if wholesome states diminish and unwholesome states increase, then one should discuss what one has seen. One should discuss such a type of object that is seen. In other words, the criterion here is, okay, we have two situations. One has seen something, one speaks about it, and as one speaks about it, one's unwholesome qualities, one's defilements increase, and one's good qualities diminish. In such a case, one shouldn't discuss what one has seen. This is like talking gossip, spreading rumors, or just indulging the unwholesome mind. But in the contrary case, if one doesn't discuss what one has seen, then one's good qualities diminish and unwholesome qualities increase. In such a case, one should discuss or declare what one has seen. Any questions about these two paragraphs? Are they understood? You have to bear in mind this type of construction in which you have what seems to be really the effective subject of the sentence, instead of being given in the nominative as one who acts, it's placed in the genitive, one to whom something happens. One should remember this particular type of sentence structure, where instead of phrasing, expressing the effective subject, the real subject, in the nominative case, as we would do in English, the sentence is structured in such a way that the actual subject is placed in the genitive as one to whom things happen. In English, we would say it's one for whom such and such happens. I'll just go through. Maybe I'll do the next paragraph, even though it's the same, basically saying the same thing, just its quality changes from being what is seen to what is heard. Do you want to ask a question?
Yes. The second concept,
Karohi, yeah. I was actually thinking about that, because you might have noticed that I hesitated and got a little confused for a moment, because it seemed that the natural counterpoint would be when one has, okay, if there's something one has seen, and when one speaks about it, unwholesome qualities diminish and wholesome qualities increase, then you should speak about it. But I'm trying to think of an example. Okay, one has seen something, one doesn't speak about it. He's talking to a Brahmin. I could think of a case in relation to relations between monks. If, say, one monk sees another monk doing something very bad, a real breach of a fundamental precept, and his conscience tells him that he should relate this to the other monks so that they will deal with that monk in the appropriate way, but he wants somehow this monk, the violator might be his friend, and so he wants to protect his friend, and he doesn't discuss this with the Sangha, then he's sort of covering up the wrong action of his friend. In that case, this unwholesome states will be increasing and wholesome states will be diminishing. Anybody think of an example from everyday life? Well, even you could apply this also in everyday life, not only to... Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, that could be a... Yeah, but this is something that one has seen. It's not so much referring to a statement about Dharma. I mean, that comes also. Yeah.
Someone has heard a good
a
good Dharma discourse.
Yeah.
And has learned something.
Yeah.
And then there was another person who couldn't attend the class.
Yeah.
And asked that person, so what was the lecture about? And the person says, no, don't worry, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Because out of a willingness to share.
Yeah.
And therefore.
Okay, maybe that's a conscience, okay, we just have to think of examples. Okay. But just to reinforce the structure, I'll just take paragraph 2, or the next case, even though it's all constructed, the next three paragraphs, according to the same template or pattern. Okay, yang hi brahmana sutang vasato akusala dhamma abhivadanti, so on. Okay, when, O brahmana, when one speaks about something that one has heard, but for one who speaks about something that he has heard, if unwholesome qualities increase and wholesome qualities decrease, such thing that is heard should not be spoken about, I declare. But, O Brahman, for one who speaks about what is heard, for one who speaks about what he has heard, if wholesome qualities diminish and unwholesome qualities increase, then such thing that is heard should be spoken about, I declare.
I have a question.
Okay.
We don't translate the word rupa at all.
Oh, in avarupang.
We just say what is seen.
Yeah, but avarupang. It's here rupa doesn't have quite the sense of form. You have to take it as a compound.
Okay.
It's like kind, such class
okay.
of such kind of things that are heard, or such a thing that is heard. It's not rupa like rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana. But it just has the sense of jiyang. Okay, any more questions on this passage? Okay, then I won't do the next two because it's just a matter of find and using the find and replace command. Okay, paragraph 3, passage 3. Okay, here we have verses from Dhammapada. Sachangbane na kujaya taja pasmin piyachito etehi tihi tanehi kache devana santike. Okay, sachangbane means one should speak truth. Here, bane is what class of verb? What type of verb? What kind? Benjun? No. What kind of verb? It's an optative. I think we came across forms like this a couple of weeks ago. I think it was before the Vipassana retreat. The ordinary optative form would be baneya. But in verse, one comes across shortened form, because one has to fit the number of words into a particular meter. And so it's common to express the optative third person singular with just one E instead of the aya. So one should speak truth nikujaya. One should not get angry. Then dajja, again, what form is this? It's optative. It's again, it's a more concise optative. Instead of saying dudeya, dudeya is the usual optative. But to make it more concise, the verse, dajja. Then it's dajja upasmin. Upasmin, it's a locative, but it's used as though it were ablative, from the little. Or maybe you could say, even when there is little, when one has little, upasmin pi, even if one has little, yachito. Yachito means one who is asked, one who is requested. And the word order is juggled around in verse in order to fit the meter. So in ordinary prose, we would say, yachito upasmin pi dadeya. Should I write that down? So, yachito is the subject, one who is asked, one who is requested. Even if there is little, that means a little food, a little money, still one should give. Then etehi tihi tanehi. Okay, these are all what case these words here.
Instrumental.
Yeah, I would say instrumental. Yeah. By the meaning by these three, tana has a very broad meaning. By these three things, we could say. Sometimes tana means place, situation, or generally just things, even dongxi. But dongxi are more like concrete objects, right? Even you could even use it in that sense. Three ways of conduct.
East or west.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay, so by these three things, gacce, again, what form is this? Yurong is what is right too often, so let's get some of the others to speak. Yurong is you right too much. Somebody else?
Optative.
Again, it's that concise, brief optative. Yeah, gacceya. Gacceya. One may go. Devanam. Or here it's devana santike. Here, for the sake of meter, the ung drops off. You meet this every once in a while in verse. The genitive, dative, plural, the m will drop, that ung will drop off. But you know just from the ana that it's genitive, dative, plural. And santike, what case is this? Excuse me? Any other guesses? It's in no case. It's a kind of adverbial expression. It's always ending in this e. It just means, actually it probably originates as a locative, in the vicinity of, in the presence of. But in English we would here put this in the dative. Through these three things one may go to the presence of the devas, the deities. Okay. Any questions about that verse? Okay, next verse. Yeah.
The one to see truth, one to attain truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Nakuja. Yeah.
Yeah. My question is that since we have a na here, it seems to me it connects two verbs in two opposite areas. So shouldn't both of them share the same object, truth? Shouldn't we say one should speak truth instead of, or na, the language is truth?
No, no. Just because there are different verbs, one could see that they are separate.
You know, it comes out of nowhere to say, why should you get angry?
Well, they're related as being a set two out of three qualities by which one could come to the practice of to the presence of the gods. Truthfulness, non-anger or patience, and charity or generosity. Okay, let's come to the next verse. Kaya pakopang rakkeya kayena sangputo siya kaya ducharitang hitva kayena su charitang chare. Kaya pakopang. Okay, pakopa means, you might put it as, well, it's like anger, but it's a different word, more like irritability, you could say. Excuse me? Agitation? Agitation has a wider range. It could just be worry, anxiety. But this is pakopa, more like an explosive quality. And so, it seems to be saying rakeya means one should protect. Yeah, but if you take it too literally, it seems to be saying one should protect irritation of body, but the sense is one should protect oneself from irritation of body. Or let's say maybe aggressive bodily behavior. One should protect oneself from bodily aggression. Then the same idea is restated in the next line. Kayena sangvuto siya. Siya is one should be. And what should one be? How should one be? Sangvuto, that means restrained. One should be restrained with the body. Or one should be restrained by body, through body, in terms of one's bodily action. Then the same idea restated in still another way. Kaya ducharitang hitva kayena sucharitang chare. Here, okay. Kaya ducharitang means bad conduct. Ducharitang is conduct. Then you have dur. Dur means bad. Charita means conduct. So when they join, we get du charita. Bad conduct. Okay, so having abandoned. Hitva means having abandoned. It comes from this root we spoke about last time. This is a very important root. It's on page 104, section 8, the root ha. And under jahati, we have the gerund hitva. This comes very often. Could it be in Chinese, Chu? In, let's see, the Heart Sutra. Let's see, Chu. Don't think I could draw the card. In the Heart Sutra, towards the end. Neng Chu Yi Chi. To eliminate. That's what this is. Hitpa, to eliminate. But maybe Chu is actually Pajahitpa from the same root, Pajahitpa. It's an augmented form. That's stronger. That's really to eradicate. Hitpa is to give up. Okay, so kaya duchari, having given up bodily misconduct, kayena suchari tang chare, one should practice good conduct with the body. Any question about this? No questions? Okay. Chari tang is actually, it's originally the participle form, but it becomes a noun, meaning conduct. Chare is the optative, one should practice, or one should behave, you could say. Behavior, practice. So one should practice good conduct, proper conduct with the body. Any further questions on that verse? Okay, the next verse restates all the same ideas, except it's phrased in terms of vachi, speech. So we go to the verse after that. Okay. Yo panamati pateti musava dancha basati lokeya dinang adiyati paradarang cha gacchati surameraya panancha yo naro anuyunjati i devam eso lokasmin mulang kanati attano. Okay, yo panamati pateti. What does panamati pateti mean? Right, this is a sandhi or union has taken place here. Instead of saying panang with the dot under the M, atipateti, the ung is changed into a simple M and the two words are joined. This is for the sake of the meter. So atipateti comes from the root pat. Pat gives the verb patati, which means to fall. But then from this, you get a causative form. The causative form comes by strengthening it. The A becomes a long A, and you put in, this is distinctive of the causative, patati, patati, or patayati. That means to cause to fall. And then it has a prefix, ati. Ati usually means excess, to overstep the limits, you could say. I guess because hunters in that time, they would use arrows or spears to kill living beings, or to kill people also. And so that causing them to fall. But it comes to be used idiomatically to mean kill. Okay, so one who kills panang, a living being, and who speaks musavada. Musavada is false speech, false statement. Then adinang adiyati means who takes what is not given. Adinang means not given. The word loke means in the world. Generally a word like that is just put in to fill space and filling out the meter. It's put in to fill up the meter. One in the world who takes what is not given. And paradarang gachati, and who goes to others' wives, in other words, who commits adultery. Then sura meriya panang. Pana is drink. And sura, I think sura is an alcoholic drink made from, it's distilled, I think sura is distilled liquor. And meriya, I think, is fermented liquor or wine. Pijo, baijo, hongjo. All the bad words I pick up from studying. Yo naro anuyunjati. Okay, so the man who indulges or engages in intoxicating drinks, distilled and fermented drink, then here, id evam aso lokasmin. Here this is first, it's ideva, which means right here. Then lokasmin, in the world. And aso means he, that person. And as the note points out, the M is what we call technically, it's called a liaison consonant. That is, sometimes when you have two vowels to avoid having them run up against each other, they put in a consonant, which doesn't really affect the meaning. It just makes it easier to recite. Ideva meso lokasmin. So right here in this world, he, that man, mulang kanati atano. Atano means literally of the self. For here it means of himself. He digs up the root. He digs up his own root. That is, he digs up the root of virtue or of merit for his own destruction. Yeah. 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 Atano is what case? It's genitive. Yeah. So. Okay. So putting it all together. In other words, here the verse is framed in terms of the five precepts. So you could actually take the word naro, which comes in the third line, and bring it up to the front when translating. The man, or more generally the person, who destroys or kills living beings, who speaks falsehood, who takes what is not given in the world, who goes to others' wives, and who indulges in intoxicating drinks, digs up his own root right here in the world. Any questions about the verse? Pakopang. Oh, from the earlier verse. Pakopang. Kaya pakop. Kopang, it's more like, I would say, aggressive action.
Already out, or is it?
Well, one has to, it's, yeah, I would say it's the action that manifests.
Already
So one has to protect against aggressive bodily action. I think that there's actually a verse missing here. The third voice is mano pakopang. That would be the irritation of the mind before it gets expressed by bodily action or speech. Anyway, it's not really specifying very much. It's not so precise. This is a verse. It's not, you know, going for precise doctrine. It's not going for doctrinal precision. But I would take kaya pakopang to be aggressive behavior of body, vachi pakopang, aggressive behavior with speech. Then the third is mano pakopang, that would be the aggressive thoughts in the mind. Okay, we come to verse or passage 4. Sache labeta nipak. Rhythm is different. Sache labeta nipakang sahayang. Sading charang sadhu vihari dhirang. Abhibaya sabani parisayani. Chareya ten attamano satima. If one should gain, and here labeta is what they call the middle form. I think we had this. Not formally introduced yet. Yeah. Let's see the index, the grammatical index. It's a middle optative. Middle voice, 11. Middle endings, 11.4.3. Yeah, lesson 11, they introduce it formally. 35. No, that's the regular optative. Wait, lesson 11, section 4.3. Yeah, you get it on page 154. Actually, that's the past tense. Up. Starting on page 154, then the model is on page 155. And they give the example, labeta, if one should or might obtain. But anyway, that's what it is if you didn't recognize it. The middle forms, usually in classical Sanskrit, the middle forms are used for verbs we call reflexive verbs. That is a verb of an action that doesn't take an object. It's not transitive, intransitive form. But in Pali, the middle form is just used somewhat elegantly in verse. I don't think you get it in prose, or else it's very rare. But it's a kind of elegant, elevated form that gives for the classical reader some sense of like poetic beauty. Okay, so if one should gain a nipakan would be wise, judicious. What rendering do they think? Yeah, intelligent, mature. Sahaya, companion. Then sadding charang is also in virtually the same meaning. Both words really mean companion, comrade, but comrade has reddish tints to it, companion, associate, friend. So if one should find a wise associate or companion, sadhu vihari dhiram. Here two words are joined. Sadhu vihari means one. Sadhu means good. Vihari is one who dwells. So together, sadhu vihari, one of good dwelling. Here they give the meaning one of noble behavior. Okay, that's all right. And dhirang means one who is firm and steady. Then abhibhoya here. This, do you know what form this is? I heard it. What is it? Say again. Gerund. It's a gerund. It's from abhibhavati. But it's formed from the root abhibhu. Then you add, they add the YA ending to make the gerund. But for the sake of sound, the U gets shortened and another Y gets added. It becomes abhibhoya. And the sense is to overcome or to transcend. So having overcome all parisayani would be the obstacles. One should having overcome all obstacles, charaya, tena, uttamano satima. Charaya here means one should travel. Charaya is to move about. It's actually in Chinese, it's one rendering is this, shing, to move. One should move with him, move about, because in these days the monks were wandering most of the time, not sitting in monasteries, but moving from place to place. So one should move with him. You could fare with him. Atta mano here means, it doesn't have any relation to atta, meaning self, but it means joyful. Here they give delighted, happy. And satima is mindful. Okay, so delighted and mindful, one should move about with him, travel with him. So just to go over the whole verse again. If one should find or get a wise companion or associate who is of good behavior and steady, firm, having transcended all obstacles, joyful and mindful, one should travel along with him. But then you might say, what do I do if I don't get such a companion? The Buddha has the answer in the next verse. No che labeta nipakang sahayang sading charang sadhu vihari dhirang rajavaratang vijitang pahaya ekochare matang aranye vanago. If one doesn't find a prudent companion, an associate of good behavior who is steadfast, then like a king having abandoned a conquered kingdom. Here, ratang is realm or kingdom. Vijitang is conquered. Pahaya is having abandoned. Pahaya is again from that root ha, of which we have the forms on page 104. There you have the present singular third person, pajahati, the gerund, pahaya. So when a king's kingdom is conquered by another country, another army, then the king, if he's lucky, he just abandons it and goes off. A kochare, one should wander or travel alone, like the naga. The naga is the big bull elephant. In Matangan, Aranya is the forest, and it seems Matanga might be a type of elephant, according to the note here, but this is a matter of controversy. So one should, and according to the belief, this big bull elephant always travels alone, it doesn't travel with the herd. So one should travel alone like the bull elephant in the elephant forest. Any questions on anything that was covered? Satima, yeah. Yeah, right. The Satima. Atamano is nominative.
But then
they have Tena.
Tena refers to what?
To him, this companion. Tena refers to the companion. Atamano and Satima refer to oneself. So when one gets the suitable companion, then you are yourself, happy, and mindful. Well, you're happy because you have the good companion, but then you should remain mindful when traveling about with him.
So what is the subject?
The subject seems to be an implicit one. You could just say the subject is the one implied by the first line, if one should get.
Okay. And then Atamano and
Satima.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have another question from you.
No.
The first exercise. You mentioned the Babuji somehow. Pariyadinato. I don't think I truly understand.
Pariyadinachito, right.
Can you explain this? How this.
Okay, this is on page 97. The first occurrence of it is in the paragraph beginning Ludo Payang. Ludo panayang kalama purisa pugalo lobena abibuto pariyadina chito. Okay, here the subject is purisa pugalo, the person, the greedy person, who is overcome by greed. Here abibuto comes from this verb here that I just put on the board, abibhavati, who is overcome by greed. And then it's pariyadina chito. You see, because it's chito, not chitan, that implies that that whole compound, it's the an adjectival compound, a compound of the two-car family class, bahubihi compound, which is describing the pugalo, purisa pugalo. So it's a person with an obsessed mind, with a mind obsessed by greed, or mind overcome by greed.
Where is greed?
Lobena.
Yeah, but in this compound.
It's not present, but it's implied, because he's overcome by greed, and the mind is obsessed. And what is obsessed by? You just refer back lobena by greed. Yeah, it's one word, it's a compound.
That word itself is also a compound.
Pariyadina chito. Is a compound. No, pariyadina is not a compound.
It's actually
a single word. Pariyadina is from pariyadiyati. Pariyadiyati.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the verb would be Hare ya deity, which comes from deity is to give, and a deity is the opposite, to take. Then pari suggests the idea of completely. All around, I think it's Jiu-Jing. Jiu-Jing? Jiu-Jing? Jiu-Jing. Jiu-Jing. And then the Y is just put in as a, for the purpose of Sunday, to connect the two vowels. So pariyadiyati means taken over completely. So the mind is taken over completely. And then this gives the present, the past participle, pariyadina, taken over completely. And then a mind that is taken over completely would be pariyadina chittam. But if the whole passage is being used to describe a pugalok, a person, then pariyadina chittam turns into an adjective, pariyadina chitto.
One whose mind is overpowered.
Yeah. Okay. Any more questions? Okay.